Our first case for argument today is 21-1112, Manhattan Hunt v. Secretary of the Navy. Mr. Felsen, please proceed.
May it please the Court, I'm Daniel Felsen on behalf of Appellant Manhattan Hunt, a joint venture. Your Honors, the joint venture reasonably interpreted the wet utility CLINs to require Terrapin Utility Services to perform all the wet utility work. And the joint venture's interpretation is in harmony with the remaining provisions of the contract. The government issued Solicitation Amendment 4 in order to correct its prior solicitation documents. And it was the government's responsibility to ensure that Amendment number 4 was coordinated with the previously issued drawings and specifications. Now, the government heavily relies on the fact that the previously issued drawings and specifications only had limited requirements in terms of requiring Terrapin or Toosey to perform work. But those drawings and specifications were issued before modification number 4 to the solicitation. And the Navy wrongly concludes that Manhattan's interpretation of the wet utility CLINs in modification number 4 contradict the provisions in the drawings and the specifications. Indeed, the Navy says at page 40 of its brief, MHJV's interpretation of the contract unreasonably reads CLINs 001R and 002F in a vacuum, contradicting various other contract provisions. Now, that's just plain wrong. A contradiction between the joint venture's interpretation of the wet utility CLINs, the joint venture's interpretation of those CLINs and the previously issued drawings and specifications would only exist if the drawings and specifications barred the joint venture from obtaining Toosey to perform all the wet utility work. But that's not the case.
Just so I can follow you, are you saying that under the original solicitation, who was responsible for doing the new wet utility work? It was the contractor, right?
Right. Ignoring
four. Just looking at the solicitation.
Well, the contractor, the joint venture, is responsible for performing all the work using subcontractors.
Including the new wet utility work.
Including new wet utilities.
Okay, what about Amendment 4? Amendment 4 do anything to disturb that?
Yes. Well, first, Your Honor, even prior to Amendment 4, the drawings and specs, as the Navy points out, did require in certain situations that Terrapin had to be used to perform certain work. Okay?
Existing wet utility work. They had to be used to perform the existing wet utility work.
The work defined in the contracts and drawings before Amendment 4, certain limited work was required to be performed by
Terrapin. Is that the existing wet utility
work? Yes, Your Honor.
So the contract required them to perform the existing wet utility work, and I understood Judge Chen's question to you, what about the new wet utility work?
Well, I understood the question to be, did Amendment 4 to the solicitation change that? And the answer is yes. The wet utility CLINs, both for the ACE.
Just for my sanity, can you not say CLIN? Can you just say line item?
Number? Line item, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wet utility line items that came through the amendment did say all wet utility work to be performed by Toosey, Terrapin Utility Services. So the joint venture's reasonable interpretation of that was that all the wet utility work was to be performed by Toosey. And our point, Your Honor, is that that doesn't contradict the language in the previously issued drawings and specifications. The previously issued drawings and specifications did not say that the contractor could not employ Toosey to perform all the wet utility work. And so the Navy's argument that contradiction exists simply falls away.
Well, I mean, you could hire them to do it, but it's at whose expense is the question. So isn't the question at whose expense it's going to occur?
Well, ultimately, yes, but the central issue is does Amendment 4 contradict the prior requirements in the drawings and specifications? And I don't see a contradiction, Your Honor. The contradiction would only exist if the joint venture's current interpretation that all wet utility work, new and old, new and existing, had to be performed by 2C, and if the previously issued drawings and specs provided that the contractor alone or with a non-2C subcontractor had to perform the other wet utility work, and it doesn't provide that. That's not a contradiction. It's consistent and in harmony to conclude that.
Why isn't the government's construction consistent and in harmony with all the provisions, given that it's clear under Amendment 4 and the 2008 memorandum that anything that is connected to or touches or the 2C's owned wet utility work, somebody needs to coordinate with 2C to do all that. And all those requirements for coordinating with 2C seem to raise a strong inference that it's somebody other than 2C that's going to be working with 2C in order to do that coordination of the new wet utility work with the already existing wet utility work, which is owned by 2C. And so when you read those provisions in combination with the line item exception, which references the work that 2C is going to be doing and then lays out the kind of work that 2C is going to be doing is inspection, design review, tie-ins, removal of any pre-existing wet utility work. It all seems to fit together pretty neatly that 2C is responsible for anything that touches or deals with their own existing wet utility work. And then, of course, the contractor is supposed to construct what the contractor is supposed to construct, which is everything related to building out these new buildings, including any new wet utility work that's needed for that new building. What's wrong with that understanding of the entire contract along with the amendments and modifications?
Well, that might have been okay, that interpretation might have been correct, Your Honor, had the Navy not included the actual language in the wet utility line items, saying that all wet utility work to be performed by 2C. It's that language that creates the problem. It was on the Navy to ensure that Amendment 4 and all the language, Amendment 4 to the solicitation.
But you need to read that in context, I guess is the point. And just in the context of that one provision, it talks expressly about what are the kinds of work that 2C is going to be doing relating to the wet utility work, tie-ins, you know, removal of pre-existing stuff, inspecting whoever's work that's going to be creating the new wet utility work. I mean, why would 2C's work of inspection be itemized like that unless it's going to be itemizing somebody else's work, not itemizing its own work?
Well, that's a coordination issue that was on the government to make sure that Amendment 4 was coordinated with the other requirements of the contract. That's not on the contractor where we're dealing with less than, a $214 million bid where the amount at issue is less than 1% of that amount. In the heat of, you know, bidding a job for the contractor to divine this, what we call a hidden intent by the government, at worst, Your Honor, there's, you know, conflicting reasonable interpretations. If Your Honor's determined that the Navy's interpretation is a reasonable interpretation, that doesn't mean that the joint venture's interpretation is not similarly reasonable. If there are two reasonable interpretations, there's an ambiguity, the board's decision therefore was wrong and should be sent back down. It's the language that the Navy used that has created this issue. Your Honor pointed out, Judge Chen, you pointed out the language in the 2C memo that was included with Amendment 4 to the solicitation, and it did provide exactly what you said, but the issue then arises from the language of the CLIN itself. And we don't see how that contradicts the interpretation that the joint venture, we don't see how that interpretation contradicts the requirement for 2C to perform all the work. In addition, Your Honor, if we look at other provisions, you mentioned relocation. Relocation requires new materials, new places. That's part of the work that was required. That is new work. And that contradicts how the contracting officer interpreted the provision. The contracting officer, as you may recall, made a stark paradigm between new and existing work. And the relocation work, in fact, was new work. And that's similar to that's similar to the temporary facilities, which is not even listed. There was a change order A3, which included payment for temporary work, new work, which, according to the Navy's interpretation, would not have been covered by Amendment 4. I see I'm running short on time, Your Honor, if I could reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Yes, Mr. Falson. Okay, Mr. McAdams.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court. The Court should affirm for three reasons. First, the contract is replete with provisions that show that the scope of the wet utility work on the project that had to be performed by TUSI was limited. Second, Manhattan Hunt has still not established how its interpretation of line items 1R and 2F syncs with the other provisions of the contract that demonstrate that Terrapin's required role or TUSI's required role was limited. And third, if Manhattan Hunt's interpretation of the line items were found to be reasonable, it would undermine the principle that the contract has to be read as a whole and in a manner that gives effect to all of its provisions.
Well, let's assume that we agree with you that the original contract separated the existing wet utility work and who had to perform everything related to that from the new wet utility work, and the contractor was responsible for those expenses. I mean, he pretty much acknowledged that the original contract, had there been no amendment, would have delineated responsibility that way. So just assume for my purposes that that's the case. Then the amendment comes along, and the amendment on its face, if all that this amendment contained was provision 1R and 2F, nothing else, there was just an amendment and all it was those provisions, would you agree that it at least then creates an ambiguity over who is responsible for the new wet utility work?
No, Judge, because the amendment is clear in the way that it carves out specific functions that can only be performed.
Well, let's look at the language of 1R, which is on 403. Do you want to get it? Do you have it handy? You're young enough, you probably have it memorized. You probably don't even need to look at it. But page 403 says all wet utility work to be performed by Terrapin Utility Services, comma, which includes wet utilities to be removed and or relocated, tie-ins, inspections of all wet utility construction, and engineering design review of the construction documents. So you think that language doesn't at least create an ambiguity over whether TUSI is required to do the new wet utility work?
No, Judge, because the CLIN has to be read in conjunction with all of the language in Amendment 4, which was incorporated into
the contract. But remember my hypothetical. I'm sorry, you probably thought that I had moved on, but I hadn't. My hypothetical is that 1R is the only thing in the amendment. If 1R is the only thing in the amendment, do you then concede that there's ambiguity at least created by 1R as amended?
Possibly, Your Honor, but the contract ultimately incorporated Amendment 4, which does clearly delineate specific tasks that only Terrapin can perform and otherwise talks about the contractor, ultimately Manhattan Hunt, being able to perform wet utility work on the contract.
Okay, well, what else about Amendment 4 then do you think, when read as a whole, makes it clear that 1R doesn't mean what the first little part says, which is all wet utility work to be performed by TUSI? Because all would include existing and future. So what else is it about the amendment that leads you to conclude that it doesn't mean all?
So the phrase all wet utility work in the line items is modified by everything that follows. And when read against the backdrop of Amendment 4, which contemplates the contractor performing new wet utility work, but then specifically calls out that only Terrapin can perform the design review, the tie-ins to the existing system.
Where does the Amendment 4 say that part, the design items and all that? The tie-ins. Where does Amendment 4 say that?
So I'm referring, so looking at appendix page 353, Your Honor.
Okay. 353 is a memo, it's not the amendment.
Excuse me, Your Honor. I'm looking at 354, which is attachment 1 to amendment 4, the wet utility contract language. And the contract includes a provision that says that the entirety of solicitation amendment 4 was incorporated into the contract.
Okay, so attachment 1, what is it in attachment 1 that makes clear? Point to me the language.
Certainly, Your Honor. So looking at appendix page 354, the large paragraph, the second paragraph that starts with the contractor should, the second sentence of the paragraph says that if the contractor constructs the connecting facilities either themselves or via subcontractor, then the contractor must utilize 2C for inspection services and must arrange for 2C to complete the tie-in of the newly constructed facilities to 2C system, which earlier in this language and the accompanying memo on the previous page of the appendix is stated to be owned by Terrapin or by 2C. And then later in the paragraph, going back to appendix page 354, later in the paragraph, there is language saying that it's the second to last sentence of the paragraph that says that 2C must review and approve all wet utility designs before construction start. So that's the language I'm referring to, Your Honor, that calls out these specific tasks that can only be performed by Terrapin.
And you're saying that that was incorporated into the contract just like 1R is incorporated in the contract?
Yes, Your Honor. So 1R and 2F were part of Solicitation Amendment 4, and the contract specifically incorporated the entirety of the amendment to the solicitation into the contract.
And attachment 1 is part of that amendment?
It is, Your Honor.
So your argument is these two things, it can't be when it says all wet utility work to be performed by Terrapin means they have to perform it all because another part of the same incorporated amendment, it was incorporated at the same time, right? It's not that Attachment 1 wasn't part of the original contract or incorporated first, and then this Amendment 4 came along. It was all incorporated at the same time, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor, yes.
So the more proper rating, according to the government, would be when it says all wet utility work to be performed by 2C, which includes wet utility, da-da-da, it's sort of enumerating the wet utility work performed by 2C, not saying that all of it has to be performed by 2C.
Correct, Your Honor. And
so what it really means is even though it uses the words all, it means all of the stuff Tootsie is supposed to do, i.e. the existing stuff.
Yes, Your Honor. So the line items refer to the subset of new wet utility work that can only be performed by Terrapin. And the modification in the line item, the language that follows the phrase all wet utility work in the line items is modifying that first phrase and is, when read in conjunction with the language we're looking at, is listing out or referring to those specific tasks that only Terrapin can perform.
How would you best summarize what is the division of responsibilities between Manhattan, Hunt here, and Tootsie when it comes to anything related to wet utility work? I know the contracting officer seemed to make this clear distinction in its mind between new and existing. But as I understand your position, it's something a little more subtle than that, that it's not some bright line between all new things versus all existing things. Is that right?
So,
is there a way you can just give me a one-sentence summary of the division of the obligations on wet utility work between these two companies?
Certainly, Your Honor. The things that are called out in the contract, both in the attachment language we're looking at and then elsewhere in the specifications and drawings in the contract, can be characterized as things that affect the existing system that is owned by 2C and is within 2C's exclusive purview to work on.
So things that affect 2C's system, its existing wet utility system, then 2C has obligations there. But anything related to what, the construction of the new wet utility work that's going to be part of the build-out of the buildings themselves, that's all belongs to Manhattan Hunt to do?
Manhattan Hunt could do that, Your Honor. And
right.
Those...
But it's their obligation, I guess, is my point. It's their responsibility under the contract.
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly right. So if, for example, you look at the contract specifications that talk about the actual installation of the water lines, the piping for the ambulatory care center and the dental clinic that had to be constructed under the contract, there's a very detailed paragraph that describes specifically how the contractor is to go about siting the water lines and then specific instructions on how the water lines are supposed to be laid and jointed. And then in the next paragraph, there's a specific call out that states that Terrapin has to perform the connection of those water
right.
lines
what,
to the...
What about the inclusion in the modification of something called temporary wet utilities work? That's not really part of 2C's already pre-existing wet utility work, nor is it something that's necessarily part of the final new build-out of the building. And that got included, and so I'm trying to understand how to think about that, because that particular item doesn't fit neatly in your theory of division of responsibilities between these two companies.
Well, with respect to the temporary wet utilities, Your Honor, there's no dispute between the parties. As Your Honor noted, the temporary wet utilities were something that was covered by a modification to the contract to pay Manhattan Hunt for that portion of the work that Terrapin was responsible for. But even though the temporary wet utilities, which, as Your Honor pointed out, were not mentioned in Amendment 4 to the solicitation, and aren't included as part of the items in line items 1R and 2F, those ultimately being included as something reimbursable that Terrapin was responsible for still doesn't get Manhattan Hunt to the point of its interpretation of the line items being reasonable, meaning, or as they explain it, that the line items require Terrapin to perform all of the wet utility work on the project.
Counselor, help me understand a little bit on your argument. What's really the problem here? Who's getting paid? Is it that Manhattan should have provided you with estimated costs before any work was undertaken? Or is it that there's been a foul-up in the division of labor? Because I think, to me, the solicitation is pretty clear as to who's to do what. But I just don't see that's been breached, or that Manhattan undertook work that it was not supposed to. It was either Terrapin is supposed to do all the work on existing wet facilities. Any new wet facilities, Manhattan is supposed to coordinate with Terrapin. And isn't that what happened here? But explain to me what your problem is. And
yes, Your Honor. So the overarching requirement was for Manhattan Hunt to perform all the work, and that work needed to be priced as part of line items 1A and 2A.
Okay, right there, explain to me the to be determined that's within those line items.
Sure, Your Honor.
So when they submitted the proposal, you were not expecting them to give you the estimate?
For the items covered by line items 1R and 2F. That's correct, Your Honor. So those things that only Terrapin could perform needed to be priced after the contract was awarded so that the contractor who was going to be performing was identified, and then they could subsequently engage with Terrapin as the owner of the white utility system to figure out how much their Terrapin, their portion of...
So where did things go wrong?
So according to Manhattan Hunt, based on what they say is their interpretation that Terrapin was supposed to perform all this white utility work, their position or their contention is that they did not include the price for any white utility work as part of line items 1A and 2A. Now, we don't know for sure. In the proceedings of the board, the Navy tried to obtain more detailed pricing information. The solicitation did not ultimately require that Manhattan Hunt provide, basically show its math. Instead, they just provided the price. So we tried to obtain that additional information to see if there was no wet utility work included, but we don't have an answer on that. But ultimately, the portion of the wet utility work that only Terrapin could perform was reimbursed via the modification that Judge Chen mentioned just a moment ago.
Okay, Mr. McAdams, your time is up. Thank you very much. Mr. Felsen, you have some rebuttal time.
Chief Judge Moore, you asked some good questions, which I'd like to actually follow up on. You know, you asked about Amendment 4 and gave some hypotheticals. The issue is that Amendment 4 to the solicitation does not merely include the contract language that you discussed with Mr. McAdams. The contract language alone, had it been alone, we'd be in a different situation. The issue is that Amendment 4 has, in addition to that language, the language of the CLIN itself. And it's the language of the CLIN itself, all wet utility work to be performed by Terrapin Utility Services. It's the incorporation of that language in the amendment that creates the issue. And it was, again, it was the Navy's responsibility to make sure that coordination worked as within the amendment itself and in coordination with the drawings and specifications previously issued. Now, there's nothing...
What's wrong with the government's interpretation, which seems reasonable to me, that all wet utility work to be performed by Terrapin, which includes this kind of stuff, here's the line item where the amount would be listed for it. It's not changing the scope of the work and saying Terrapin has to perform all wet utility work. This is just a line item where you put the dollar amounts in that correspond to each of these line item things. So they're not saying, we're changing the scope. All wet utility work now has to be performed by Terrapin. They're just saying, here, stick a price in here for all of the wet utility work under the contract that does have to be performed by Terrapin.
Nothing barred the Navy from requiring that all wet utility work be performed by Terrapin.
But it doesn't look to me like they did that. When you consider A, the original contract, and B, the attachments which were included as part of the Amendment 4.
But, Your Honor, the line item itself could have, if that is what...
In a vacuum, it could have. But it's not in a vacuum. It's in conjunction with all the other stuff. And I'll tell you, I think your position is unreasonable, and theirs is reasonable. I don't see the ambiguity. If that item was the only thing... Maybe, but it's not. The contract contains all of this other stuff, and the amendment itself contained all of these other attachments, which all go against you.
The language itself could have said all work that only 2C may perform.
It could have been clearer, I agree, but the fact that it wasn't clearer doesn't render it ambiguous.
Right, but it's also not, Your Honor, respectfully, it's not in contradiction with the other language within the amendment itself. And it's not
in contradiction with the language in Attachment 1. Your interpretation isn't reasonable in conjunction with the language in Attachment 1.
Well,
and that's part of the amendment that was incorporated at the same time.
We find that it's not in contradiction with that other language in the amendment. It's not in contradiction with the previously issued drawings and specifications. It's not in contradiction, our interpretation is not in contradiction with getting paid for temporary wet utilities. It's not in contradiction with being paid for new work in terms of relocated facilities. And so given all that, and that it's on the Navy to ensure that its solicitation is clear for a contractor, again, we're talking about 214th million-dollar bid where this is less than 1%. There are reasons why, and which we would get into in discovering, why the Navy would want to require Terrapin to perform all the work. Ultimately, in terms of saving money and time on the project. As Your Honor, the joint venture asks that the court reverse and remand back to the ASPCA. Thank you.
Okay, we thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.